Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadweep Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Bhakti ki jai, Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Golranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namaskritya.
Naram
Jaya Narottamam.
Devim
Saraswatim Vyasam.
Kuto
Jayam Ujirayat.
Nasta
Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Prayeshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So we're continuing our reading today from chapter 13, first canto, which is Dhritarashtra quits home. We're on text number 14. Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Satkrito deva vat sukham.
Satkrito deva vat sukham.
Satkrito deva vat sukham.
Satkrito deva vat sukham.
Vratur jeskasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jeskasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jeskasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jeskasya
shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Please chant.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Vratur
jestasya shreyas krit.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Kanchit kalam atavasit. Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Satkrito deva vatsukam.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Vratur jestasya shreyas krit.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit. Satkrito deva vatsukam. Vratur jestasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avaham. Ladies.
Kanchit kalam atavasit.
Kanchit kalam atavasit. Vratur jestasya shreyas krit. Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Sarvesham sukham avaham.
Chit.
Dhamma Chit.
For a few days.
For a few days.
Kalam.
Kalam.
Time.
Time.
Atta.
Atta.
Thus.
Thus.
Avasit.
Resided.
Satkrita.
Satkrita.
Being well treated.
Being well treated.
Devavat.
Devavat.
Just like a godly personality.
Yes,
like
Sukham.
Amenities.
Bratur.
Bratur.
Of the brother.
Jestasya.
Of the elder.
Shreyakrit.
For
doing good to him.
Sarvesham.
All others.
All others.
Sukham.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Avaham.
Avaham.
Made it possible.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother, and in this way bring happiness to all others. Let's repeat. Thus, Mahatma Vidura.
Mahatma Vidura.
How about this? Let's say it together. That's what I meant to say, okay? Sorry. Thus, Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother, and in this way bring happiness to all the others. And I'll continue with the purport in a second. Omam Jnanti Mirandasya. Jnanjana Salakaya Chakshu Umilikam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge and illuminated the path back to Godhead right from the very beginning. So I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service life after life, no matter how long it takes till we get there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated as well as a denizen from heaven. In those days, denizens of the heavenly planets used to visit homes like that of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and sometimes persons like Arjuna and others used to visit higher planets. Narda is a spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly, not only within the material universes, but also the spiritual universes. Even Narda used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods. And here Srila Prabhupada tells us how this is possible. It's only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. And just to repeat, it's only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Maharaj Yudhisthira therefore received Vidura in a manner of reception offered to the demigods. So there's more to the purport, but let's speak on this first. So in some of the previous classes, it's been already discussed a few times from different angles of vision about the proper reception for a saintly person and how we should greet people and receive them with loving respect. So that's been spoken about a few times, that point. So, but here Srila Prabhupada brings up another point of how this, what materialistic personalities are trying for by mechanical means to reach other planets and to make, you know, so-called progress in that space travel, how they're endeavoring by so many mechanical arrangements with huge endeavor and expenditure to make some, you know, small Sputnik that goes up and travels around the Earth for a little time and then comes crashing down either in a controlled way or an uncontrolled way. One of these little news flashes that passed by my eyes the other day was from the Weather Channel about all the numberless space debris that are floating above this earthly planet with, you know, satellite communications or rocket launches or attempted launches or whatever. And all this debris is not just floating in our waters and in our, polluting our landfills, but it's also floating in space all around, because they're thinking that by mechanical arrangements they can get to higher or to other planets. But Srila Prabhupada stresses the very basic point here, that by culture, spiritual culture, one can, in a sense, easily, but obviously not without huge endeavor also, huge austerities and huge purification of the mind and the heart, that has to be there. But by that endeavor, by culture, then the demigods will be even attracted to come here and to come associate with one another, with some of the devotees here. And that has been exemplified even within our simple little fledgling movement that Srila Prabhupada started. So who knows those examples? Div, want to tell us those examples when the demigods came that Prabhupada talked about?
Well, he mentioned that the devotees said nobody came.
Yeah, that's one. Another one? I think it was London, wasn't it? Rath Yatra? Yeah, when they came to the Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada, and I believe even to this very day, there's a seat of honor for the demigods, like particularly, who did he say? Brahma and Shiva had come. And so there's a seat of honor on the altar in one of those English yatra temples for them, because Prabhupada said, oh, you should make them a seat, so they have a reception there. He said they came to the Rath Yatra. And then in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions how Yamaraj always comes and is present where Krishna is glorified. And so therefore, Prabhupada says, if you want to come free from the grips of Yamaraj, then you should always be chanting the glories of Krishna, because he's attracted to that and he'll come. And then another story, another example, somewhat related, hopefully you can make the connection, is Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, when one of his prayers that he offered is he wanted millions of ears and millions of tongues to glorify the Lord. And the acharyas explain that that means that he wanted to be able to hear everybody's glorification of the Lord wherever that was. He wanted that, but that's the benediction that he wanted. So, you know, there's examples like that already. So Prabhupada's telling that this interplanetary system, interplanetary travel that's attempted by mechanical means is insufficient. And actually by the real means of the yogic process, we're happen to be studying in our Bhagavad Gita class, chapter 6, the Astanga Yoga process and different... So that's actually a yogic mechanical process to control the breath, the incoming, the outgoing breath, to concentrate the mind and the tip of the nose, because it's not a particularly attractive place to concentrate on, so your mind doesn't get too distracted. Your eyes can't be totally closed, because then there's a tendency to fall asleep, so they have to be a little bit open on the tip of the nose, and that way mechanically control the mind and the senses so that purification takes place and one goes to the next stage of fixing the mind on a transcendental goal, then the next stage of meditating, and on the next stage of samadhi. And that's all explained in chapter 6, these the eightfold pratyama, niyama, asana, pratyahara, and a few others.
Pranayama.
And samadhi. To fix the mind on a transcendental goal, bring it out of the control of the modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada also says in the purports of the first canto that the spirit soul wants to go beyond the tethers of the body. He wants to go to the light. He wants to be able to travel beyond the restrictions of this material bodily covering. That's because that's his ability to do that in a pure state, just like Prabhupada mentions here, Narada Muni is that spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly because he's beyond the restrictions of the modes of material nature by his purity and fixity in transcendental consciousness. So, that's a little bit of an extrapolation on that interplanetary travel that Prabhupada talks about. So, and then Prabhupada ends that first paragraph by saying, Maharajis, therefore receive Vidura in a manner of reception offered to the demigods, because Vidura, having traveled on pilgrimage and always being such an upholder of religious principles and always never being hesitant to speak out under adverse conditions that he was situated in within the palace, he still always spoke out and spoke the true religious principles. And therefore was a great saintly person, what to speak of the fact that he had retired from the palace life and had gone on pilgrimage for many, many years and became even more enlightened in spiritual topics. So here's the second paragraph of this purport. Mahatma Vidura had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. So that reminded me of the great sage Vishwamitra when he came to the palace of King Dasara. Thank you. Mm-hmm. He said, and when Dasara said, please come in, O great sage, and sit down. And Vishwamitra Muni said, O king, I have not come here to sit or enjoy palace life. I've come here on a mission that only you can fulfill. Anyway, I was in a play recently. But anyway, so Mahatma Vidura didn't come back to the palace thinking, oh yeah, now my pilgrimage is over, now let me go back to a comfortable life in the palace. No, he came with a fixed purpose in mind, and the word was Shreya Krit. He wanted to do good to his elder brother. That was the fixity of his purpose. So he was determined. He had given Dhritarashtra many good consultations throughout his life, but somehow Dhritarashtra played very well the part of an obstinate materialist who wouldn't, even hearing good instructions from a saintly person such as, on the caliber as Vidura, he still couldn't give up his what? His attachment. His attachment. That's the cause of our suffering. We'll read about that now. Okay, all right. Mahatma Vidura had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhisthira. So even he accepted with gratitude and appreciation what Maharaj Yudhisthira was offering, but that wasn't his purpose. But the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. And then We're familiar with the situation of Dhritarashtra, and it's so easy to read these few lines and think, oh, he was so unfortunate. He was so unfortunate. Or say, he was stubbornly obstinate. It's easy to say those things, but if we reflect on our own attachments in our own life, we'll see how we're so attached to every little minute thing in our life, that it doesn't go in a certain way, if we don't get a certain food stuff that we like, if we don't have a comfortable this, if we don't sleep well at night, if we don't this or we don't that. That's what we need, that's the mirror we need in front of us when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that we're looking out and always seeing how this person is that and that person is that and that person is that, but we're actually looking in and see, how does this what is this instruction for me here? So here the instruction or the description of Dhritarashtra was that he was so materially attached that even though, Prabhupada says, Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhisthira. Everything. His country, his palace, his kingdom, all his sons, his 100 sons, and his all the citizens, but still, due to a sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So for all of us, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the various intrigues that have been delineated in the Mahabharata in the that led up to the Battle of Kurukshetra, it wasn't just one or two little incidences in the lives of the Pandavas that the Kauravas treated them unfairly. There was many, innumerable incidents. It was constant. It was a constant rivalry that they, the Kurus, felt towards the Pandavas because of their pious qualifications and the fact that all the citizens loved them more than they liked the Kurus, and et cetera, et cetera. It just led to so many things. And yet, and there was the Dhritarashtra who had the ability, he had, as the king, as the reigning king at the time, he had the ability and the power to tell his sons, no, this is unfair, you're treating them unfairly, stop it, this is, you know, and establish the Pandavas. But no, because he was attached to the throne that he had temporarily had the responsibility for, because when Pandu died, the Pandavas were young and not able to take up the throne, so he temporarily sat on the throne. But even when they became of age, his mentality was, well, at least my son should be in charge, not them. And because of that attachment, this whole epic war took place, and so many lives were lost. And then he's hosted by Maharaj Yudhisthira in his palace. Not just hosted, you know, in the back room, you know, with the bare necessities, but in a grand way. And even Yudhisthira would refer to him as Rajan, the king. It's amazing. It's amazing how the false ego bewilders one. So again, not that we're seeing how that person is bewildered. I mean, it's good to understand the flow of the story, but just to see for ourselves how we're bewildered by a false conception of life, even though we've heard innumerable times. Okay, Prabhupada continues. On the part of Maharaj Yudhisthira, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle in a befitting manner. But acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted it because he thought there was no alternative. That's a really important point. And the other point here, too, was... due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then further on in the next sentence, Prabhupada said he accepted it because he thought there was no alternative. So what is the alternative? In other words, what's the lesson that we should learn from this incident? One big lesson is to focus our mind on dependence on Sri Krishna, to have that full faith. That's who's maintaining us. Not our paycheck, not our spouse, not our this, not my situation, not my endeavor, my personal endeavor that's maintaining me. It's Krishna that's maintaining me. And he's been maintaining me all along. All along, as a little child, as a youth, as a middle-aged person, and now even in our old age, Krishna's the one who's maintaining us. And to have that faith and vision, if we have that vision, then we're actually seeing things in proper perspective, and we'll actually be able to see how Krishna's maintaining us. If we don't look to see how he's maintaining us, we'll think it's by my endeavor, by my social security check, by whatever, whatever, by my inheritance, by this or whatever. You know, there's a huge list you could put there if you don't put Krishna. But if you put Krishna there first, then that's the real, that's the proper perspective. And through his agents, through his arrangements, this is happening. You know, whatever the immediate cause might seem like. But the cause behind all causes, the sarvakarana karanam, the cause of all causes, is the Lord. And because Dhritarashtra was a little faulty in that perspective, that he didn't see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and didn't have faith and didn't, etc., etc., he didn't see that merciful hand of the Lord behind everything. Therefore, he felt in a helpless condition. He felt there was no other alternative. He felt desperate, and continued his attachment up until his very, very old age, just right before. Okay, I'll finish the purport. I'll try to. Okay. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and give him a lift. Would you like a lift? Give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. So beautifully put, isn't it? Give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. Yeah, I want to talk about that, but I'll wait a minute. Okay. It's the duty of enlightened souls to deliver the fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant part of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, because he's our self-realized person that we're getting to hear from, that we have the opportunity to hear from. So the encouragement that we always hear throughout his books and through...